Blog Talk Radio.
Presenting her to you all just in just a moment.
tonight's show is really, I'm hoping that I don't start crying because my eyelashes might mess up. But glory to God, I'm excited. Before I introduce my guest, I want to just give a tiny bit of history. Back in the, I guess it was the 70s. Back in the 70s, my last name, my maiden last name is Burrell. That wasn't a common last name back then. It may have been common other places. It wasn't common really in Southern California, in the South Central and where we had grew up at. But her last name, my guest's maiden last name, was the same. So, you know, you always wonder, well, could that be a cousin? Or maybe it's a cousin, maybe it's not a cousin. Never thought anything else about it. Here it is. I've been out of high school for a while. And here it is on tonight, we find out that not only did we go to school together, but we find out that our dad went to school together. So that would have been like in the 40s or the 50s, in the 50s. So that's just, I tell you, a lot of history. So I am excited to present to some and introduce to others. I guess I would be considered my homegirl, my sister in Christ, my friend, Tammy Burrell Henderson. Welcome to the studio.
I am just so excited to be here with you, Zadis, and I am just excited because God is just orchestrating things so well, you know, as he usually does. And I just thank God for the opportunity just to see you again, and you haven't changed, Lord, not one bit, and just to be in your presence and to see what God has done even in your life at this point.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited. I for the last couple of weeks, I've been just like, okay, Lord, I'm ready for this, and, you know, I started doing my little research and praying, and Father, which way do you want me to go, And then the way he was leading me, I found that you had that listed from tragedy. But I think you said from tragedy to triumph, believe God. And so I thought, wow, okay, I'm on target. We're on target here. So I am excited. So what I want to do, because our studio audience, we want to just allow them the opportunity to find out, to, you know, let them come into Tammy's world. So if you just take a moment and just kind of give us a summary. Who is Tammy?
Wow. Tammy is a mother. First of all, she's a servant. I am a servant of God. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a businesswoman. I'm so many things. I'm an aunt, a great or grand aunt, which I'm really proud of that. And I am a daughter. And I'm just so many different things, you know, whatever you put under woman, that is what I am, and I am proud to be a woman. I am an activist. I am a mentor, and I love the fact that I can say that because we as women, we juggle so many things, and we're such a fascinating species that we have the ability to multitask, which, you know, I love my husband. But he can focus on one thing at a time, and we have the ability to do so many different things. So I, that's what I love about the fact that I am a woman in every sense of the word. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that in being a woman, you can be so many things to so many people. But what I've learned is that the most important thing is being true to myself and who I am. Yes. In every aspect of my life. And I just like being, you know, the focal point of who I am is not my religion, but my relationship with Christ.
Oh, yes.
I'm not big on religion, but I'm definitely big on my relationship. As long as I know that God is orchestrating my life in the direction in which the Holy Spirit has come to lead me and I'm going that way, I'm doing well in life, and I like to tell you that my life has not been a crystal stair, but what I can tell you, each step of the way, God has been there with me.
Amen.
Each step, he's been there with me.
Yes. Ooh, yes. So with that being said, I think think I'm going to do this. You know, I'm on this kick for the last 2 weeks. I've been on this Trinity, tripart, you know, part tri. And so I want to deal with you. You already just, you really spoke on the you know, being a wife and a mother. And we're just going to touch really briefly on the wife. That's probably one of your most, when I say wife, I mean I'm going to speak with the wife, the mother, and just let you share a little bit there. I'm sure that's probably next, you know, next to your relationship with God, I'm sure that comes second. So I want to share on that, and then we're going to just go to parts because I want to share on that, and then I want to go to the worshiper because I know that you have some testimonies that just blows me away. Well, it, you know, not that I'm surprised because that's what our God does. So you say you're married, you have children.
I am married. I've been married, this year will be 29 years, to an amazing man, Darvin Henderson. And he has been such a godsend, let me tell you. And I'm not saying that because, you know, he's my husband, because there are days that I just want to shake him to death. But truly, he's been a godsend. And the one thing that I can say is we met 32 years ago at a church camp called Thousand Pines. And we became friends. Really good friends. He went off to college, I went off to college, and we figured never the twain shall meet. And then all of a sudden, a friend of mine introduced me to somebody and said, let's go over and hang out with these guys, and we did, and just so happened, there he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we became a couple, and we've been together ever since then. But the one thing about my husband is that he's truly a man after God's own heart. And he has been in this race just as long as I have, if not longer, because he's much older, he's a little older. And he's just guided our family under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I say that we really could not go too wrong, because he was always following the direction of my daddy, and meaning Jesus. He
right.
Definitely following the direction of Christ. So one of the things that amazes me, and even just makes me smile every time I think about it. A few months ago, I was thinking of, but reminiscing on my grandparents, because my grandparents raised me, my grandfather. And I said to my girlfriend, I said, I only pray for somebody like my papa, because I would come in and I would see my papa on his knees praying for his family in his room. And so about 4 months ago, I, in the morning, you know how you're going in and out of the bathroom getting ready for work, and I came in and I saw my husband in that same position.
Wow.
And so I knew that the Lord then had sent him. After all those years, I said, Lord, this is it, because this is what I prayed for.
Mm.
And I thank God every day for that little man that he sent me. And he's just amazing. And that's one facet of who I am. I'm a wife. And, you know, it's not easy. It's been a struggle at times, but the valley times is what shaped our relationship.
Well, I tell you, that's a testimony in itself when you look at marriages today. I mean, you were married, you know, you've been married for 29 years, but you've been bonded for 32, well, yeah, 32 years. So with that being said, I mean, 32 years, and that's really a blessing. So, woo. So, kids. So, do you have any kids?
Yes, I have one amazing daughter, Dinesha. She is 28, and we had her thinking that, you know, we couldn't have children because I had some issues, and I said, okay, you know, it's not going to happen. And so we just kept living our lives as if. And next thing I know, I was pregnant, and she came just in time. I was 22 in college, and I'm saying, you know, this is kind of scary for me, and I'm not sure, but it was just in time. It really was, because my grandfather was ill, and he was my focal. He was my life. He was just everything to me. And she came along, and I took my focus a little bit off of him, and he died, passed away a month after my husband and I really got our family network together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say she came so that I could transfer that love that I had, because I was so devastated, because he was so my focal point. And the reason being, and I like to say this all the time about my grandfather, he was the wisest man, like Solomon,
mm-hmm.
that I knew. And I would do these things on social media, things my papa would say. And these things are the same things that I live off today. Like, I'm not sure, and I know that other people's grandparents said it, because this is just what old country folks said. you haven't gone through anything, keep on living. You know, if you wouldn't entertain the devil, he wouldn't show up for your show. You know, things like that.
Right.
And these are the things that are so very true in my life. And so when I start going down the wrong path and my mind starts thinking the wrong thing, all of a sudden I hear this still small voice of something that my papa would say. And it gets me right back on track.
Awesome. Wow. You know, when you think about that, then he's never left.
Never left.
Never left.
Never left.
He's still there.
Exactly.
And so you have your daughter and then your husband, and so we're talking 32 years strong.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to move over to the let's move over to the worship. Ooh, I'm ready for this. Let's move over to the worshiper.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who were listening in and you're saying the worshiper, we're going to talk about the woman of God,
mm-hmm.
the woman of God, and let her share some of her triumph. So I seen a picture on your page,
mm-hmm.
and I looked, I took a second look, I enlarged it because I was trying to figure out what happened. And, you know, you see stuff like that, you don't just ask people, you know,
right.
Well, wow, what happened,
yeah.
you know. And but now I can ask you, what happened?
You know, Denise, to this day, I'm still not quite sure. I was going downtown that morning. I went downtown, had done some shopping, some mega shopping. And so I was excited. And I was in my little car just driving down the 215 freeway here. And the next thing I know, there were two cars speeding and behind me. And I didn't think anything of it. I just figured I would move out of the way. And as I was trying to move to my right side, the car clipped me. I spun out. I flipped over and landed 18 feet down an embankment on flip side. Meaning that the roof of my car was turned over and my wheels were turned up. And I was hanging like a piece of meat. And when I tell you, it wasn't a fear when it was happening. I didn't feel as if, oh, God, I'm going to die. All I remember saying is, Lord, you said in your word that you are very present help in the time of trouble. I'm in trouble, and I need you. And so the next thing I know, there were people coming down. A gentleman came and with another gentleman, and they pulled me as far out of the car as they could. And at this time, I'm still awake. I can still see what's going on. I can hear just fine. And the next thing I know, a lady comes up, and she says, you believe in Christ, right? And I said, yeah, of course I do. Of course I do. And she said, you can hear me. I said, yes, yes, even with the blood coming down my face.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, she said, all you got to do is begin to praise him.
Oh, geez.
And I said, well, I know how to do that. In my head, this is what I'm thinking. I know how to do that. And I begin to say, thank you, Lord. Oh, I bless you, God. As if I was in my sanctuary on Sunday. And I begin to give him high praise. And I begin to go into a worship. I love you, God. There's nobody like you. I adore you, Jesus. And the next thing I know, I'm being pulled out of the car. I stand up. And they pushed me down. They said, no, something's wrong with you. I said, no, I'm fine. And when my husband, let me go back a little bit. When I flipped over, my cell phone landed outside of the car, and it landed on Honey, which is my husband.
Oh, wow.
And the gentleman picked up the phone and said, your wife has just been in a terrible accident. My husband does not answer the phone for anybody, Denise. When I tell you, I could call him 50 times. He would not answer this. That day, he answered the phone. He was at the church at a layman meeting, and he came. He said, babe, the traffic was 2 miles down. I ran up to see what was going on with you. And when I got there, it was just, everything was in so disarray. And when I saw the car, I said, how am I going to tell her parents that their daughter died on my watch? For all intents and purposes, when you saw the car, that's what you thought.
Right.
So the next thing I know, they're air flighting me out because they said, don't move your neck a bit. But I'm fine. All this time, I'm fine because I know I was fine because I stood up and I know the Lord had just kept me. And so the worst part was just being restrained when you're going there.
Right.
And so I got to the hospital. The doctor came in. He said, I saw the picture of the car, and I see you. And this is just not the way it's supposed to be. He said, at the very least, your neck should be broken. I said, well, all I want to do is sign the paper so I can go home. And so he says, well, I don't see anything wrong, so you can definitely go home. I had about 16 stitches in my head.
Okay.
And that was it. And I'm here today to tell you that God's able. He's able, and he's worthy of praise.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy. He's truly worthy. And when I tell you that, ever since, if I could tell you that that day made me see things differently and you know, changed my whole perspective, in some ways it did. But then in other ways I was fighting it because I was afraid of it at that point. I was like, Lord, why did you leave me here? Why? What is it that you want me to do? Because I'm not quite understanding. But it was so clear to me that there's still work for me to do.
Right.
So that's why he left me here. And he shows me every day that there's still work for me to do.
Mm. Well, see, that's a good thing because a lot of people go through tragedies like that and they don't get it.
Right.
You know, a lot of people go through tragedies and they never question, why am I still here?
Mm-hmm.
They never take advantage
mm-hmm.
of that second opportunity,
right.
or third, whatever it is. And so that's good that you recognize that there is still, it's just not, it wasn't your time, and that there's still things that he has purpose for you to do, and that's a blessing. And you know, and so that right there is a testimony for other people to see that God is.
He's real.
He's real.
He's real in every sense of the word. He's real. When I wake up in the morning, it's not the same as when I woke up before, because there's a praise in my heart before. There was a praise in my heart before that I hadn't experienced enough to know how to praise him the way that I do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to get excited because the choir was on point. I used to get excited because the preacher was on point. But now I get excited because God is just on point in my life. He's just that good. He's just God all by himself. And it's not amazing to me what he did. It's amazing to me that he did it for me.
Mm.
That's all it is. Because he's just God. That's his job. I let him do his job. He does it well. But I'm just amazed that he keeps working on me. And he keeps allowing me, the least of them, a little old girl from Watts, to be something in somebody in his eyes. I don't care what other people think.
Right.
But I'm committed to Christ. Not committed to the cause of Christ. I'm just committed to Christ and what he has for me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to compete with anybody. Because what God has for you is for you, and what he has for me is for me, and I might miss my blessing trying to complete with you. So I just feel like it's necessary for us all to understand who we are in that relationship
exactly.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to be, I could never probably do a blog like this, but he has it for Denise. And that's the most important thing. The lives that you touch, I could never touch. But what by you being who you are, the vessel that you are, the catalyst, I'm allowed to be here. And I thank and praise God for that.
Well, amen. That's a blessing. You know, spirit bears witness. I was talking to a girlfriend of mine today, and she was upset. And I won't, you know, but she was really upset. And I was, you know, I hadn't gotten a chance to talk to her, but I could tell through some things that she was going through a bad day. I think that's just a simple bad day. So I called and left her a message. I played on the phone. I sung her a song on the message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm being silly because we got some little buzzwords that when we say it, we just start cracking up,
mm-hmm.
you know. She teased me because when I talk, I say self. When I'm checking myself, I say, self, just calm down,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so she always says self. But I was teasing, and I was, you know, on the phone playing with her. I hadn't spoken to her. And when she finally did call me, she was hysterical. She was in tears, and she was hysterical. I'm talking about fat.
Oh.
So I don't even know if she got a chance to check my messages. And then when I heard, I was like, ooh, I'm up here playing around, and she, my sister's really in pain. And I just began to speak to her and let the Holy Spirit minister to her and talk to her. But one of the things I said is what you just said. What God got for you is for you. And what God got for somebody else is for somebody else. And what we have to realize is that when we see other people get things, no matter what we might think of why they shouldn't have or what they didn't, the thing is we don't know what their prayer life is with God. And they were probably believing on that miracle just like you was believing on it. And so we just have to know that God, I have to trust that God loved me so much that if I don't get it, is because he has something different for me, and that is, you know, and that just wasn't for me. And that's where I'm learning to trust God, and it's called trusting God in our situations, not based on what we see, but based on what we know. When you know, I think, I don't know, somebody posted this, and I'm not sure, but it stuck in my mind. They said, I'm beyond believing. You get to a point where you know. That you know that you know. And when you know that you know, ain't nothing else could change it. And even though life happens and we do get flustered in the moment, I'm a flustered in the moment type of person, because guess what? He knows his child.
Yeah.
I'm his daughter.
Definitely.
I'm his favorite.
And
I throw temper tantrums with my daddy. You know, with my only thought, I throw temper tantrums, and then he had to check me and say, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
Calm down.
Right.
You tripping.
Right.
But thank God, you know, that, like you said, what he got for us is for us. And if we didn't get it, believe it, that he's not going to withhold no good thing from us. So if we didn't get that, that probably wasn't our good thing.
Right.
And we have to trust that. So now I'm getting excited. Look, I'm getting excited because we're getting ready to talk about, I want to go into, but I didn't know, let me not stop you, because I don't know if God has some other things that he wanted you to share, because I just see so much wisdom. I see a woman of great wisdom.
Oh, bless your heart, because, again, like I said, I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandfather was essential in my life. And he was a man like Solomon. He was full of wisdom. And there were little things that he would say to me that that's carrying me even today. And when I tell you that I've been to school, I've done all that, you know, you have more letters behind your name than you do in your name, all that. But the most important thing to me is to be wise and in all that I do, you know. And it's nothing like old folks. It's nothing like older folks, because we old folks,
yeah.
It's not like older folks. When they start to talk, I mean, I'm mesmerized by the wisdom, most of them. And when I tell you that, I have been through the good, the bad, and the ugly. I've been through it all. What you see from 29 years of marriage, we have some valleys. You know, we talk about the mountaintop now because it took us so long to get there. You didn't see the struggles of, you know, trying to keep it together and buying our first home at 22 and the people asking you for a death certificate because you're African-American in an all-Caucasian place. And they don't believe that you got the money the way that you got it by inheritance, because that's not what black folks do. And then the struggle of raising a daughter that you want to become your everything, but she's obstinate and wants to become who she is. And, you know, and you have different parenting skills. And so you go through these valley things to get to the mountaintop. We just went to South Africa. Cape Town, South Africa. And to be honest with you, because we were always working and our daughter was the focal point and she left and we were empty nesters, but we still were just working and he was flying this place, I'm flying that place for work, and we hadn't spent quality time together. But we had these 13 days together, just me and him. Woo! Just me and you. Yeah. Well, woo, I realized he didn't know me that well. The new us, improved us, because we got together when we were young and then life happened. So we, I don't know, I kind of like this cat, this new and improved cat. And he kind of liked me.
So we were dating for a minute on the little excursion in Cape Town, Africa, and if you ever get a chance to go, it's the most beautiful place in the world. But what we realized about each other is that we didn't just like each other, we liked the God in us, the God that has developed us, the master that has kept us together in spite of all the things. We've had indiscretions, and I'm not going to lie,
mm-hmm.
it was not just him, it was me, and things happened, life happened, and we still managed to stay together.
Yeah.
Because we realized that we didn't make a commitment to each other. We made a commitment to God. And when we said to each other, through sickness and in health, till death do us part, that's what we meant. And we worked it out. Everybody's not going to work it out because it's not for everybody. But once you go through the process,
yeah,
and you realize that the pain that you're harboring is not that bad, but the penalty, if you continue to harbor it, is rough. So that can send you to hell.
Mm.
So we've decided, in our finite mind, that we're just going to stick it out together. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but as for me and my house today, we are going to stick it out together. And I'll tell anybody, go to God in prayer before you make a decision, because you can be saving your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Had I left when I wanted to leave, my daughter would probably be messed up. My life would be in shambles because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But because I was obedient to God and obedient to the commitment of marriage and the commitment that I made in front of God to him, he's worked everything out.
Mm. Obedient.
Obedient.
It's better than sacrifice.
I love it. That is so awesome. Gosh, I tell you, I got chills because, you know, that's not a lot, like you said, it's not a lot of people's testimonies, but it's a great testimony because family,
mm-hmm.
you know, love is not, you know, it's not a fuzzy feeling.
Mm-mm.
Love is a commitment. It's a choice.
It's a commitment. It's work.
You know, it's work. It's a choice. And we don't realize that. A lot of, you know, I mean, I could say I didn't realize that love for me during my times was love was cool as long as things were working the way I thought they were supposed to work. And when they were no longer working the way I thought they were supposed to work, then I didn't no longer probably love you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I still probably would feel like that if it wasn't for my relationship,
absolutely.
My personal relationship with God, who is teaching me
mm-hmm.
what love really is, you know, and really love is meeting one's legitimate need when it's within your ability to do so, even when they can't meet your need.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is. It's a choice. It's a commitment. And I'm learning that the closer, you know, the more I grow in my own personal relationship with God, I'm learning that kind of love.
Yeah,
know?
And I think what we do is we look at love and we go back in the Word and we say that it's, you know, it's all these things, but we forget about the part in there where it says long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. You have to suffer at some point, and it may be very long. But the fact still remains is that when you come to common ground, but you first have to be yoked up. Now, if you're not yoked up, it's not going to work. If you over here praising God and he in the bar, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. But
yeah.
you have to, you know,
yeah.
and you have to continually pray, of course, for your spouse, and he prays for you. But when you get out of order, and things are not working the way that, you know, somebody wants to go off and do this and that and the other, well, that's not what God has for you. I mean, I just believe that when the Lord puts two people together and they're truly yoked together, it will work. You will work it out. But when somebody comes to you and says, well, this is not what I really want, I want to do this, that, and the other, and that's not what God says to do, you just kind of have to let that be and know that God has a plan for your life that does not include that person.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it may not, you know, it may not include, but there's times where sometimes you just have to be still.
Be still.
I believe that does work. You know,
working
because
out.
I think oftentimes when we marry young, the immaturity level. Because I think sometimes now, had I understood that now, if I would have understood that then, that the maturity level, that sometimes you might have to wait it out, because some people have to, you know, grow up quicker than others, and then also understanding, and you only can understand this with your relationship with God, is that, like you said it, I say it all the time, hurt people.
Yeah.
So when somebody's hurting you, you have to really try to begin to understand, are they really hurting you? Is that a direct attack on you?
Right.
Or are they trying to process or go through something, their own hurt? So, you know, we learn that as we get older. So we don't get to the fun thing, and that's been, I mean, I could go on with the woman of God forever. I mean, I could just get excited and, girl, before you know, we've been here having a praise party. But I want to talk about now the businesswoman.
Yes.
Because I'm looking at these glasses. I've been looking at these glasses, and I'm going to get me some Shiro Sunnies. I'm going to give me a few pair of those. I tell you, I've never been a shade person. I just never like shades for once. I don't know. I just put them on, and I feel like when I put shades on, I can't hear. I can't see, no way. So I put these shades on, and I just feel like I'm really iced, you know, like I'm just disconnected. But tell us, how did that, a black woman, I'm just going to call it like it is, a black woman. And when I seen the shades, a couple of shades, and then I kept looking and seeing these shades, and I started saying, ooh, those is cute. Ooh, I want a pair of those. I think I'll take two of those. But then this is coming, you know, you hear about Ray-Ban, and I think my glasses, even though they are raggedy, is baby fat or whatever. But when I look at a black woman, and that, how did you even come up with such an idea?
Actually, I had done an array of different things that had come to me, and I was going to open up my own boutique, and then some tragedy hit my life, and I decided to just wait and let God really speak to me. And I have been praying. I said, Lord, whatever path you would have me to take, let me know. And this really came about because my girlfriend, Rhonda MacGyver Jackson, my sister, I've ministered with her, she wears shades all the time. And they are, you know, the most beautiful shades, and she would wear them. And she would wear them inside, outside, didn't matter. And she left a pair at my house. And I put the shades away, at least I thought I did, and I said, when she comes over, I'll give them to her. And I went upstairs, and I thought I'd put them downstairs, and the shades were upstairs in the room. And I said, I'm going to try these shades on, and I liked them. And so I said, okay, I'm going to get me some more. And so I started collecting these shades, and it became my passion. Like, everywhere I went, I would try to find me a pair of different type of shade, not just the run-of-the-mill, you know, round with a little hue. And then so I started studying up on the shades and seeing the type of shades. And, you know, when we were growing up, the baddest shades ever were Gazelles and Laura Bijotti.
Yeah.
So I started to study how they came about and things like that. So I just really got into it, and I had had a dinner, and my mom came over, and she had on these funky, really funky shades, and I said, that's it. I'm going to sell shades. I'm going to do glasses. And when I first started, my husband was like, good, because you have a whole room of glasses we need to get rid of. And so I didn't realize that it was just a passion for me. So I decided that I was going to wait and see what, you know, what was going to happen with it. And then all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks, because I would always call women in my life my sheroes, the people that I love, the people that have really spoken to my life and been something to me, you know, and strong, beautiful women, not just aesthetically beautiful, but just beautiful, period, inside and out. And so that's where Shiro came from, because you have the hero Right. And then it stemmed from that in Shiro. So that's where the Shiro sunnies came from. And I just love shades. I love everything about them. I love the way that they fit the face. And it's funny, I have another friend of mine. Her name is Tammy Burrell as well, T-A-M-M-I-E. And she is an ophthalmologist.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is what she does for a living. And she said, I do glasses, but I never thought about shades. She said, you should do it. So I've just had so much support. And we will launch on June the 4th. It's going to be a pre-launch to a bigger launch. And there's some surprises coming in there because it's not just going to be shades. There's some other things that I'm excited about in terms of accessories.
Okay. So now that's June the 4th. Now, are you having, is this going to be an event somewhere or is it?
Yes, we will be launching at my husband's and where we have our tax business. So we've had a tax business for Competent Tax and Financial for 25 years. Yay.
Oh, okay.
And
awesome.
So we're in our office in San Bernardino, downtown San Bernardino on East Street. I know it's kind of shady, but the office is nice, and we will be presenting the shades there. We will have a focal group just to see what shades we'll put in the line and how we're going to put them together. And Ms. Denise, you'll be a part of that focal group.
Oh, okay.
We need a novice, somebody that just doesn't do shades, but all of a sudden likes
right.
shades.
Well, awesome.
So we'll have we'll have a few things going on and. I just hope everybody embraces it, and those that like shades, if you don't like shades, get some from your mama, your auntie, your cousin. And
I would say one of the things, and like I said, I'm not a shade person, so I'm saying this, and I'm not saying this just because I know Miss Tammy or we go way back, we homegirls. I'm saying this because I would see her posting these shades, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. And to the degree that there are certain ones that she posts that I've already spoken with her because I'm going to find out about getting my prescription
mm-hmm.
put on in these shades. So if you are interested in seeing some of those shades, hit me up. Contact me. You can either email me at coachd@mycoachd.net or you can hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, we have an NCD Network page on Facebook. We have a Processing the Pain page on Facebook. Hit me up if you are interested in seeing some of these shades, and then I could see how we could work to get these pictures over to you so you could see them because I'm telling you, these shades. And I like things that's different. I'm big on, I don't want to go somewhere and see somebody with in what I'm
right.
have. So some of these blings, you know, for the ladies out there, I mean, that like bling, you like bling? I'm talking about these shades got bling that you just won't see somewhere, you know, see anywhere. So I will, if you let me know, I will make sure I get that information out to you. You'll get a chance to see these glasses. They're amazing. They're amazing, and they're affordable.
Yeah, they really are. I try to do it for everybody, just anybody and everybody. So you have some with bling that are all blinged down, then you have some that are just regular plastic, hard plastic. You have some that are wired. You just have so many different array. You have some with marble now that I just posted today.
Mm.
I have, again, I will launch on June the 4th, so if you go on my page, Tammy Burrell Henderson, you can go and message me, and I'll make sure that you get the information so that you will have the website and all the information from the launch. Because what I found was as I was trying to promote the launch, there were people, I need to buy today. I need to buy today. So the thing is that I have the inventory and it's all ready to go, but if I sell the inventory now, I won't be prepared for my launch.
Right.
So what I want to do is make sure that everybody is aware of the launch, and that way you can get on the website and you can go and buy any Shiro shade you want. And, again, if you don't like shades, it's okay. We have Shiro Specs, which is what I'm wearing now, where I've taken the shade out and I have had my prescription put in.
Mm-hmm.
And it works well. And so we have a line.
It looks fabulous.
Thank you.
I wish we were live so people could see because, I mean, it looks good. And, And I'm normally, my sister could tell you, my younger sister, I'm just not here. I mean, when it comes to accessorizing and stuff, I've always been kind of just kind of plain. I mean, I could put on a bad dress and won't even have the right, you know, accessories. So I normally go, you know, into my mom and my sisters. I'll be like, okay, do you got this or do you got that? So I'm starting. I noticed that the older I get, I'm starting to be more fashion conscious when it comes to, you know, purses and glasses. That just never was. Now, shoes, I had a strong addiction on shoes.
Right, right.
And then, but even as I get older, I can't even wear some of the same shoes I used to wear. Right. So I'm just like, okay. But I'm excited about these glasses. And, again, can you just give them your information again so that they can hit you up so that you could begin to build maybe a customer database?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go on to my page, it's Tammy Burrell, Facebook page, it's Tammy Burrell Henderson. My email address is Tamre, T-A-M-R-E, the number 4, U at AOL. That's again, T-A-M-R-E, the number 4, U at AOL. And you can hit me up and just put the header as Shades or Shiro Sunnies, and that that will prompt me to definitely go on and get you some information.
Well, we have a caller that has a question, so we're going to bring our caller in. Caller, area code 310, last 4-2567. Welcome to Processing the Pain.
Good evening, Coach D and guest. I am thoroughly enjoying the show and your testimony and just the story of your whole life. But my question is, do you have any shades or Shiro shades for men?
You know, I'm actually developing a line right now with a gentleman, and we are definitely going to have that done more than likely by the summer of next year. I've just developed the women line, but we are definitely putting together now a men's line because you guys always seem to be left out in the accessory department, and I don't want to leave any stone unturned. So watch out for the Hero line. And then that's what it will be called, Hero Sunny.
Thank you so much, Lee. Thank you.
So if we have any other listeners that have any questions or comments for our guests on tonight, please dial 1 on your dial pad if you are listening via, if you're not listening via Internet, because, of course, if you're on the Internet, you can't dial 1. But if you want to call in and dial 1 on the dial pad, then call-in number is area code 646-721-9678. Again, that's 646-721-9678, and we'll be glad to answer any questions or comments that you may have. If not, we are definitely coming towards the end of our show, and I just want to, is there anything that you would be able from I'm going to talk to the woman of God again. I always go back to the woman of God because we know we got so many people out there that's hurting, that's going through that life, mm-hmm. you know, and they just some people just get stuck. Mm-hmm. And all they need is one word, just one word to change their whole situation. If you had one word to tell people that might be listening, we have people that listen from all over. We have people on the Internet that's listening in. We have people that call in. But we also have people that listen in to the archive files. And if you had one word to give people, what would that word be?
Trust. Trust God in everything you do. Because I just believe that everything that I've ever wanted, needed, longed for, desired, as long as I was trusting his word, and what he was telling me in that word, it was granted unto me. I got a second chance at life. I got to live. I've been afforded to live this wonderful life that I thought was a dream. Because, like I said, I'm a little girl from the township of Watt. And what I saw as opposed to what I'm living, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked God for many, many things, but the things that I truly, truly trusted him for, he has never failed me. Trust God in all you do and know that he will answer every prayer, even if it's no.
It's for He's working it out for your good. He's working it out for
you. Amen. Amen. Good. That's a good word. That's a good word, because oftentimes we fail to do that, is to trust Him. Wow, sis. I appreciate you taking the time and to come on our show and just be so transparent. That's not always easy for people to do, but to be able to be transparent and just share. And I'm sure that there's things that you said on tonight that's going to be a blessing. That's probably a blessing for people that was listening in. You never know what people are going through. And so you've given a testimony on so many different levels, you know, to your marriage. Because people want to just, they want microwave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're
mm-hmm.
just like I said, okay, it ain't working, so it ain't working, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my way or the highway.
Right.
And it's not, because it comes with a lot of sacrifice.
Right.
And it comes with, discipline. I think the biggest thing is we're not disciplined.
Exactly. We
you
are.
Know? And so you shared that testimony. 32 years, that's a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You shared the testimony of your life being spared.
Yeah.
You know, to have your car flip and fall down. You said
18 feet
exactly. Embankment, you know, and to be able to walk away from that.
Right, right.
You know, with no injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure, I think if I'm not mistaken, after all of that, now how long ago was that?
That was 4 years ago.
Four years ago. And then you turned around and was blessed.
Oh,
even after
absolutely.
That. I think I've seen a picture of that.
Yeah. what happened was, and this goes back to what I was saying about trust God for everything you want. And this is the material thing, and I'm not big on, you know, material things, but because I grew up with a lot of material stuff. So my dad had a Mercedes, my mom had a Mercedes, and I said, Lord, you know, I want a Benz. I want a Benz, and I want a brand-new Benz off the showroom floor. And so the next thing I know, out of that tragedy came the Benz off the showroom floor.
Oh.
Off the showroom floor. And I went in, and I picked out the car, and I said, that's the one I want. And my husband said, are you sure? Because the price tag says that maybe not. I said, no, that's the one I want. That's the one I'm going to get. And the next thing I know, 4 hours later, I was riding out in the Benz. Not exactly how I wanted to get it, but I trust God for it. And I had told my friends, I'm going to get me a Benz next year. I don't know how it's going to happen because my credit is jacked and I ain't got no money. But I'm going to get me a Benz.
Hmm.
And the next thing I know, it didn't matter about my credit because all of a sudden my credit score was high and I didn't need any money. And I walked out I drove off the showroom floor in Ontario and with that car.
Where do you think that, you know, I know your grandparents raised you, but then your father was an entrepreneur. Where do you think, because I'm going to share something, but I want to hear, where do you think you got that from? Just going after,
Well, not only was my father an entrepreneur, but in the little township of Watts, we owned apartments.
Mm.
We owned the apartment. My grandmother and grandfather owned the apartments that were in our that were behind us. And it wasn't a big deal to me. I just said, okay, we own some apartments. It never was a big deal to me
mm-hmm.
until I realized that entrepreneurship equates to freedom, the freedom to do some things and to be able to, you know, live a certain way. And so my father started me off really early with my own little, like, lemonade stand. You know, Tammy, you need to go out there and put your lemonade out. And I don't want to do that. But he said, this is how you do it, babe. And so he showed me in so many ways. And, again, like I was telling you, we own the donut shop across from Cerritos High School called Foster's Donuts. Not only did we own that, we own one in Seal Beach. And we owned an ice cream parlor on Hollywood and Vine for many, many years. And so
yeah.
it was just in my blood.
So you were being taught.
Yeah.
You know, you were being trained and taught. And I would say that's the same thing with my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that we've seen it.
Yeah. We lived it
our whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't understand it back then either because,
right.
you know, my parents moved from, I came out of Compton and,
mm-hmm.
and I remember going to Cerritos and being angry.
Yeah, I was.
Because, like, how are you going to move me here? And we moved there at a time where there was not a lot of diversity at all.
At all. No, we were just a few.
Yeah, we were just a handful. And I could just remember just the name calling and
mm-hmm.
the oranges being thrown and telling us to go back to Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and I can remember that. And I can remember the handful of, you know, families that was there, and some of them that are still there, you
right.
know, like the Rhodes and the,
right,
you know,
right, right.
It was just a handful of us that started off very early there. And I say that to say is that we got exposed.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't understand it then. But even the fact that we were placed in the midst of an environment that what we thought wasn't conducive to us, we learned tolerance.
Absolutely.
We learned how to deal with other nationality.
Mm-hmm.
We learned something. So now we could go anywhere in the world and we know how to talk any language.
Anywhere.
For me,
yeah.
because I could go here and I know how to talk 103rd and Central.
Exactly.
And I know how to go here and I know how to talk. So we've learned to be well diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had parents that were entrepreneurs
right.
and business people, and they taught that, and we seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember even trying to get my dress for the prom, you know, that was coming up. I remember it wasn't like my parents just said, well, here's the money, just go get it.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen.
No.
And I didn't understand that because I was like, we got this money to do this. Why are you just not giving me the money?
Exactly.
But they didn't teach us that.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go out, okay, you could do the windows, you could go wash the car.
Right, right.
It was something
Absolutely.
Always tied to
mm-hmm.
earning that
yeah.
money. They, you know, in the summer, me and my brothers would go, we had a sheep plant in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
In the summers, we would go work in that plant.
Mm-hmm.
We worked right out, you know, next to the workers,
mm-hmm.
and we learned how to score a box. We knew we learned the value of a corrugated box, and most
right.
people just see it as a box.
As a box,
but
yeah.
it's deeper than that.
Deeper than
you know, when you start learning the different styles,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
mm-hmm.
start learning how to price things based on large quantities, and you know, all you know, didn't realize that all this knowledge that
right.
we were getting that eventually. We took into our adulthood, and we weren't scared to travel. We weren't scared to move away from California,
oh, absolutely.
You know, because we had traveled young. So we'll get up and move in a minute. And these are the kind of these were some of the things that we learned. But on the flip side of learning that, the good thing about it is that we didn't forget where we came from.
Not at all.
And we know how to go back. I still go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still go back, and I still have family,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Compton and
mm-hmm.
South Central, and we, you know,
yes,
and
yes.
you don't forget, and you still go back, and you still love your family, and
mm-hmm.
you still can laugh and talk with them, and you still a part.
Oh, absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Know, and so I think that you know that's a great thing that we were able to learn some things that I know some people that never got any further than. Never got any further than Maine on one side and Atlantic Boulevard
right.
on the other
right.
side, you know, so they
right.
stay within this 5 mile, well, I'm not even say that, maybe a 2 mile radius.
I think that's just because of lack of knowledge. You know, we perish because of the lack of knowledge.
Right.
So, therefore, they don't know. They had not been exposed to certain things. And again, we grew up being exposed to so much and going through what we went through at our high school. I remember walking home, and people at that time, my hair was really long, taking my hair, and, you know, your nappy head this, and although my hair wasn't nappy, but they were saying some mean, evil things, but, it goes back to tolerance, and I would come home crying, and, Daddy, why are you making me go to that school? He says, no, build character, and I believe that. I believe that it did, and it built integrity. You know, I wasn't afraid to do things because I wasn't afraid to venture out and,
right.
and do things because I knew that eventually it'll all work together for my good. And my daddy would often tell me, it's going to build character. You go back to that school. You keep going back to that school. And I did. I did it for as long as I could. Then I said, you know, I got to go somewhere else. This character building thing.
For the birds.
Yeah, then I went to Gardena, and it was no different because I was still a minority in that school as well.
Well, you know, that's funny because, you know, and that, look, that, for those still listening in, you feel free to listen in. We just kind of, we're chatting, we're communicating, or we could say we're chopping it up, whichever
right.
one you want, that you can refer to, or that you can relate to, but I didn't even realize, I mean, you know, I didn't realize that you had left and went to Gardena.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you graduated
84.
Okay, so you were a couple of years
yeah.
younger. Okay, so I was already gone when
yeah.
you left, because, you know, my brother left Gar. I think the 10th grade and went to Gardena.
Yes.
So y'all was at Gardena together.
At the same time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay.
Yeah, because I was I would see it, but I'm like, oh, he's following me for real. And knowing that that was not the case, but yeah, yeah, you know. And then the funny thing was, I thought at that time everybody with the last name Burrell had to be related to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, like you said, nobody had that last name. Well, few people had that last name. And then he looked like my uncle. So I said, I'm sure they're related to me. And then when I saw you on social media, I said, I wonder if that's Denise Burrell that went to God. It has to be. And it was you. And I'm so very glad that, again, God just orchestrates things the way that he does.
Full circle.
Full circle. And it's been happening a lot to me where I'm running into people, not just from social media. I mean, just literally running into people on the street and seeing them, and I haven't seen them in years. And I just thank God for that, because the growth, you can see the growth in them, and they can see the growth in me.
We're not the same
people.
We're
not the same people.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, I'm just here to tell you, in high school, I thought you were a mean girl. And everybody would say, no, she's not. That's just her exterior. That's who she is.
Ooh.
But then what the real trip thing about it was, people come and say that to me. I thought you were a mean girl.
Well, that's amazing that you said that. See, Coach D is going to get a little transparent. Because my life, over the last 14 years of my life, since I've been back home this last time,
mm-hmm.
I'm connecting with a lot of classmates and
mm-hmm.
childhood friends I grew up with, and I'm reconnecting with these people, some of these who I hadn't seen, like you,
mm-hmm.
in 30 years or what have you. And so we would be sitting up having conversations, and I said, well, I just thought that you thought, you know, that people thought I seen myself back then is that people thought I was mean, that I probably would end up with a bunch of kids. That, you know, this is the crowd I was around.
Right.
You know, you had different crowds. You had the nerds, and
mm-hmm.
then you had the jocks, and then
mm-hmm.
you had the what they called the stoners or the cool people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of the cool people group.
Yeah, you were. Indeed, you were.
You know, so I really thought that people see me as, you know, she's going to have a bunch of kids. She's probably going to end up on drugs. Whatever the case, because when I came back and I started running into these people, I knew
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't that girl.
Right.
I knew that I had been through whatever I needed to go through, and that I had to go through it to get to where I'm at now. And so when people see me now, I say, I know I was a hot mess back then, but you're the first person who's seen what or have communicated what I was thinking, because most of them say, no, you were friendly and you always was taking up for somebody. And,
well, you did.
Oh,
but you were mean. No, I mean, and this is who I am. I'm really into living your truth.
Yeah.
But I would see that, no doubt. I'd seen that, but it was in such a way where I don't want to mess with her because I don't want to get into it with her because she mean. But I never thought, it was never a situation where I thought that you know, I didn't think that far because I was so young, so much younger.
Mm-hmm.
But really, there's a sermon on my page by Pastor Adolf that says, go get Leroy. And I need you to listen to that. Because you have to hear. It's one of my favorite sermons, and it tells it compartmentalizes all of us into those groups. But Leroy was the one that was everybody counting him out, but when all the reunion class came back together, Leroy was the one with the real story. And that's who I felt like you were. You were popular, yeah. Everybody knew you, yeah. You were very pretty, yes. Yeah. But the thing was, you were mean. We were always, you know, like, we like Denise, we love her, she's a great girl, but she mean. But I think that, you know, you come to a realization and when you're a kid that anybody that is not, that doesn't conform
mm-hmm.
is mean. And you were not a conformist. And that's what I really think I liked about you. I said, she doesn't go with the grain, the way, you know, she kind of makes her own way. And I kind of liked that about you. As a matter of fact, I liked it a lot because that's who I was. And when I got to Gardena, I was able to do that. But when I was at Star, I was like, there's somebody with that spot, so I'm going to have
it. I just love you. Oh, I thank God for you. Thank you for keeping it real. Now, I know my listening audience, especially those who tune in all the time, y'all hear that, right? But I got another sister in Christ that's listening in. I know she is. And she often, she's heard the story. We have a ministry we come out of vertically, I'll share some more about that with you. It's dynamic. But when I first came back to California, I was mean.
Mm-hmm.
But what I realized is I really wasn't, even then in school, when you say that, I laugh because you're right. I was mean. I really wasn't mean. I was hurt.
Mm.
I had a lot of hurts in my life, a lot of disappointments, a lot of rejection, a lot of things. So my exterior
mm-hmm.
became such that you better not mess with me.
Right, right.
I'll hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I
ain't going to be hurt no more. You
right.
know, I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me.
Right.
So it looked like me, but really what it was pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of, even from then, is what you hear in this show, what you hear in the book that's coming out, all of that.
Right.
To God allow me to go through all of this pain
mm-hmm.
and this hurt and bitterness and anger, be able to dissect and do a root cause analysis
mm.
of why
like
I'm hurting like this. And people don't know. And people are not asking themselves, why am I so mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even today, I ask myself, even with all that I know in my relationship with God, some days I say, Lord, I love you so much. How can I be so mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're not mean.
No. Mm-hmm.
Because, and then I had to, then he told me, it's in the, the producing is in the pressing.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about grace,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the more you press, the more it produces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was telling me. I'm pressing you.
Right. Right.
I'm pressing. I'm getting every little bit of it out of you,
mm-hmm.
whatever I got to do. And even when you think you arrived, you ain't arrived.
Right.
And I think that the pain that God allows us to experience in this life is to keep us humble.
That's it. That's it. I agree. The pain that we process on a day-to-day basis is to keep us humble. I cannot be any more humbled after the experiences in my life.
Mm.
My daughter going through stage 3 cancer and then coming out whole,
yes.
completely whole. Me having a terrible, tragic accident, but me coming out whole. It keeps you humble. Because when you look at the fact that you serve such an amazing God that can do all these wonderful things,
mm.
you think of yourself as nothing. And that's really how you have to be before him. You have to be like a child. I'm just depending completely on you
mm.
for everything in my life. I trust you, God, for everything. I can be, and my mother-in-law, who was my rock, she's gone on to glory, but she would be riding in the car and would just tickle me to pink. Lord, I just need a parking space out there. In the front. I need a parking space in the front. I'm like, why are you praying for a parking space in the front? Just park somewhere. And the next thing I know, we're parking in the front. So it's the little thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
even the little things that you have to trust God for. And in doing that, he prunes you. He gets you ready. A coal is just a coal until it's pressed into a diamond. You know, a caterpillar is an ugly little worm until it begins to bloom
yeah.
and become a butterfly.
Yeah.
You know, so everything has a transformation, a metamorphosis, and it's not always pretty at the beginning.
Mm.
It's not always pretty.
And that's the truth. That is so much the truth. And as you begin to tell the story of our school days, that was the truth. You know, hear that saying, to know me is to love
me.
Yeah. That's a true saying because
mm-hmm.
people that knew me knew, oh, she's really soft.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's
yeah.
really soft and she's nice and funny, but I did. I had a hard exterior.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I was saying, that, you know, even when I came back, that exterior had resurfaced.
Mm-hmm.
And it surfaced with pain. You
yeah.
know, when you're in a place of pain
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to figure it out, for me, that's my safety.
Right.
Put up this wall. This wall of defense, this wall you can't like the MC Hammer, you can't touch it.
Can't
you know. But glory to God, I thank God that He knows us and when we're willing, He's
mm-hmm.
willing to transform us.
Right.
And he's willing to work with us through and I want to just be all that he created me to be. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I'm gonna be all that he created me to be, even when it hurts, even when he has to push me, pull me, drag me to get me to be where he needs me to be. I'm just saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And that's all he wants to hear is a yes.
That's all he wants to hear is a yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we are at the end of the show. We thank our listening audience for listening in on tonight. We appreciate you. We thank you for your continued support. And we just hope that you tune in weekly for our programming. Mondays we have Relentless Pursuit on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. Then on Tuesdays we have Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. And I tell you, there's been some topics going forth on Woman to Woman on Tuesday nights that just have, just gets you totally involved, some good subjects. And then, of course, on Thursday nights at 7 p.m., we have Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. And I just want to thank my special guest on tonight for just gracing us with her presence.
For you.
Yes, and I'm keeping an eye out for those Shiro Sunnies, and I know we have some people listening in that's waiting for the heroes to come out. So you might have to push that.
I'm gonna have to push that up pretty quick. Yeah.
So again, we thank you for tuning in on tonight. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week.
If I seek your kingdom first every day, not going